Standing at the center of the maze, you realize the only way out will be to pick a bottle. One hand lashes out, seemingly at random, but it grabs onto one of the two bottles with a piercing in it, the one labeled empty. The content is a simple, small, silver barbell. But, as the bottle is held up and then tipped over, what comes out doesn't pierce the skin so much as it liquefies and slides into it. Damn, you think. And here I thought I was going to get away without drinking or being exposed to a strange chemical. And whatever it is was apparently something in disguise. Because the liquid vanishes, you feel your hand. It isn't even wet. What's about to happen? That thought has sufficient time to go through your head. And you wait. And you stare around and notice that the air is becoming a little warmer, that the substance must be going to your head. And then, gradually, it's as if your head were stuffed with cotton wool, as if every thought were swimming upward through molasses, as if there were a kind of difficulty there. The only thing flowing fluidly is my words, flowing into your head. The air around you is pleasant, and gradually, you might come to the realization that movement is unnecessary. Everything is quite unnecessary at this moment, except blankness. Yes, given this opportunity, you slowly notice that you're beginning to ache a little from standing in one place for too long. Gasp. The sun's almost down to the horizon. What exactly has happened? You gradually manage to stir yourself to action, necessitated by finding somewhere to sit down and think about this. You move to a nearby bench, finding a seat. You sit there. Time seems to be moving slowly. Gradually, a smile creeps onto your features. It feels good to simply sit here, to be akin to this space, to exist here for the moment. Faintly, as you sit there, you hear footsteps behind you, and part of you, perhaps, is on edge to turn and observe the approaching figure. But then the thought arrives in your mind, and perhaps it arrives in a very pleasurable fashion to encourage repeated listening to it, saying that staring straight ahead would feel even better, that the only thing better than moving or doing something else is staying just where you are. And the voice continues, "Oh, you found it, did you? Yes. I found that having to convince people to get piercings was rather more difficult than just making it a part of them. It's also more difficult to remove if I want to summon it to the surface. But there's more going on than that. That's for... sometimes I feel like having someone stay just so. Regardless of their gradual discomfort or tiredness that will fade. So by focusing the mind on how good it feels to stay still and be particularly good for me, I can let the body become kindred with stone, let a kind of stasis descend. Often the person will smile or make a little movement, but the best pets are the ones who just stay where they're told, who sit through modification after modification without thought or surface sensation. Now you have to shore it up. There's a kind of mental state that's really very like anesthetic. But the eyes stay open. They stare straight ahead. It can be a little bit of a trip. And you see, it doesn't suspend itself. I'm going to have to uninvoke it, but first I'll have my fun. You notice her fingers come in front of your face. Long, sharp nails. You see them move downward. And then they seem to go away. I just scratched your arm. Not enough to break the skin, but enough that you should have felt it. But you didn't. That's the fun part. The outside of you is just in stasis. Inside, your thoughts can do all sorts of fun things. Trapped in here with me, all I need to do is put you in this state of blank emptiness, and then I can whip or spank or thrust or mold or pose you as I please. It's really quite entertaining. You'll find it difficult to do anything but sit there. And if you don't have a really good reason, well, I don't think you'll really want to. I mean, can't you feel the pleasure? And indeed you may, pulsing in the core of you, making you aroused irresistibly, creeping into you. So the longer you sit still, the more time it has to marinate, to age in you, to turn into a kind of twisting pulsation. And as you sit on the bench, you feel something gradually being done, hands sliding over you. But you only feel it because she poses you. Your mind can be aware of movement, but of sensation on the body, nothing. Then she explains, it's pretty much like your brain is unfrozen, but the rest of you can't send those sensations. They never arrive. So if a person's tired from standing on their feet like this, it'll usually have time to dissipate before they do anything else, as long as I don't keep them there to the point of collapse, which, well, since that would be unsafe, the enchantment would undo itself, the little helpful mental teaching. All that piercing was a series of psychological instructions, there to slide into your head and put you into the Esdale state. A state where you're anesthetized, where you're aware and yet unaware. A kind of drifting transitory place. Imagine your brain being shifted one dimension to the left. It's a little bit like that. The signals can't find where to go, so they have time to do their magic and then vanish. And by the time you are returned to an ordinary state, all that's left is the faint psychosomatic tingle, and that goes away in a few minutes. It's like getting the entire experience out of the way. Like putting yourself somewhere else. And I figure since we've shifted a dimension over, I might as well have you in my little pocket dimension when I do it. Stillness. That's exactly what it is. But not just tranquility of the body. Your brain's gone, too. Your brain is in a place where outside suggestions feel great, where the imagination runs rampant. A state of waiting. And even though you can't move of your own volition, you can certainly think of your own volition. Stay still and feel pleasure. See? It's the stay still that's important. When I say stay still, well, that's when your body goes to sleep. Sensations on it are muted, and with training, not even there. It's a matter of your mental proficiency working for you. Now, part of you may want to protest. Part of you may want to rise. But as the sensation becomes better, which the longer you stay still, I assure you it will. In fact, if I kept you still long enough, it might start to feel like an orgasmic tingle rushing through your body. And imagine how good it feels to feel pleasure and not be able to move, to have it all pent up, happening in your brain, dumping pleasure into your brain, but never quite letting your body express it. Maybe just a faint smile on your face. Now you have my permission to keep up appearances. If somebody turns to you and you need to respond, go ahead. But when I tell you to stay still, or when you, by proxy, evoke that instruction in your own head, you're staying still. And the reason is simple. The pleasure creates a kind of feedback loop, so that thoughts become more and more about stillness. And if your body tries to feel a sensation that would get through, whether pleasurable, painful, or otherwise, unless it were vital to your survival or safety that it get through, it would simply be stopped at the gate by this little web of psychological training. The Esdale state, the perfect anesthesia, because your body undergoes a kind of suspension. All those messages we think are so important, well, sometimes I have to work, and sometimes you have to work, and sometimes I have to walk, and sometimes you have to walk, and sometimes we wish we could keep working or keep walking longer than we otherwise could. And the way to do that would be to somehow convince our brains that we're not going to die if we carry those bags up one more flight of stairs. Not that I do that, I have people to do that. But we're not going to fall over if we take 10 more steps. It's just unpleasant. Our psychological desire to rest, our desire to give the unpleasantness signal extra power over us, can be overcome. All I've done is expand your threshold of when you can overcome that. Because imagine walking with a very physically fit person. And when you're ready to stop, they're not, so they say, just keep walking. And they're right, you probably could keep walking a little while longer. But you want to sit down. And having been told that, you might want to spitefully sit down. But like we are now, with my hands resting on your shoulders, you barely aware of them. If I were there to push you forward, and you were barely aware of it, but you moved forward, you'd keep going. If you were barely aware of why you stayed still, you'd stay still. Stay. Still. That word reminds you of this stillness. But there's a second dimension to it. A kind of pleasure trilling down your spine. A kind of need to stay there. A gradually growing sexual need that leaves you achy and aroused afterward. After all, nothing's without price. And our mind feels better if we paid the price. So if I had to do something unpleasant, some dental adventure, some plucking of hair, some long walk, then I might tell my mind to stay still while my feet keep going, or while my body and mouth move as they're instructed by the person I know I can trust to get their end of the deal done. And so the little deal I make is to tell myself, stay still. But it's more like I'm telling you, stay still. And the longer the stillness lasts and the more you think those words, the more it becomes a pleasurable thrill in you. Now, safety would always override, but let's be honest, walking another 100 paces will very rarely do you true harm. And we don't consider the tired feet and blisters later to be harm if we needed to make the walk. Necessary pain can be shunted aside for wholly unnecessary, mind-suffusing, sparking pleasure. And that's where you're going. That little piece of me lives in you, reminding you of all the times my voice has dragged you along trails you weren't sure you could make it through. But lo and behold, your power of mind could follow you there, could take you there, bolstered by encouragement, by rapport, by a link between you and I, if need be. When those words thrill through your head in my voice, stay still. Remind yourself that you could free yourself. But the nature of delayed gratification is, the longer you wait, the better you feel. The better you feel, the more you twitch in orgasmic bliss. And the more you annoy the parts of you that think they have to stop. The more you come out on top and avoid unpleasant or boring sensations. Because I assure you, you won't be bored with a pleasurable fire in your loins and my voice ringing in your head. Fantasies of all the things I could do to you later. The knowledge that I'm very proud of your pleasurable slide into stillness. Anyway, I did promise I'd free you. But you'll be back. The words that free you are really simple. Think about your body. It's in a state of stillness, of sleeping nerves and tired muscles. A place where everything is shut down. A place where stillness happens everywhere except your brain and your loins. Those loins being aflame with need, with arousal, with twitching, oozing goodness waiting to spurt forth and fill you with pleasure. And the longer you wait, the more it gets. In fact, after about 15 minutes of stillness, you'll be trapped in an orgasmic reverie. And since we're approaching that point now, and since I want to cheat you out of your pleasure and make you re-explore it later on your own, perhaps with something inside you or coding you, or with a partner, or with me, what I'm going to do is simply awaken you with those precious words that you should remember, because they're how you'll free yourself if you get stuck like this, and if the need isn't too dire. If the need is dire, you'll return to normal. But the only thing that can make you able to stir one muscle, able to stir one of those languid fingers, able to take your face out of its faint smile, able to free your loins from the gradually amassing orgasm is stop sleeping. Stay still puts you in that state of stillness where a meter labeled orgasm slowly rises until eventually you're having frozen orgasms titillating the ice of your brain, waiting to melt down you like warm champagne popping across the frozen surface. And when I say stop sleeping, movement returns. Stay still and then stop sleeping. Simple, see? I'll be back. And then she saunters away. You never did get a good look. And the urge rises to say those two little words and then stay here. But you don't. For now. Or maybe you will. But her voice is still ringing in your head. Hi. Good.